My name is Anne, and I have a new life in Christ. I'm recovering from pride and control. And about 11 years ago, I was in an affair with a married man at work.
Hey, Anne.
Hey. Guys, I was blowing up my own family and another family in that process. And so we just want to talk to you tonight because I had friends at the time who just wanted me to be happy. And that was what they told me. And so what we're going to talk to you about tonight are some of the things that I really wish my friends would have told me at that time.
We figured here in Regeneration, we cover a lot of different topics throughout as we're teaching and throughout the steps as you guys are meeting with your groups. But one of the things that we thought that we needed to focus on at this point in time was sexuality, because it is a part of how God made us. It impacts all of us. And so for us to have an adult conversation and cover that topic. So tonight, as we talk about sexuality, it applies to you whether you're single, dating, married, divorced, any stage of life, because God has made us sexual beings in relationship with one another, and it is going to impact you. And so this is for everyone tonight. It's part of our lives and makeup. I think about it in this way. Like my son, he's 5, and we got him a BB gun.
You what?
And they're... Now, the analogy breaks down because he doesn't get to use it apart from me right now. But there's a good way to use a BB gun that's going to be fun for him and a lot of entertainment, and we'll have a good time. And there's a really bad way to use a BB gun as he, like, sweeps across the front patio with his little sister and little brother there.
Always down.
And similarly, God has given us a gift. It's something he's entrusted to us. And there's a good way that leads to life and joy and fulfillment. And there's another way to use that that leads to a lot of pain and fallout and hurt for yourself and another. So as we do this, as Anne and I teach from time to time in this setting, I'm going to be talking for the most part to the guys in the audience. When Anne's talking, girls. She's talking to the girls. And we're going to go back and forth throughout as we cover some of this. Well, as we talk about sexuality, we're going to hit three different subpoints. One, we're going to talk about relationships, just relationally, how this is a part of our lives and how it affects us as we interact with each other, both in a non-sexual relationship, and then of course sexually. We're gonna talk about visually and how that is a piece of this, the visual aspect of all of us sexually, and then finally, actually sex as part of a sexuality talk. So that's where we're going tonight. If you don't feel comfortable with the stranger you're sitting beside, now would be a great time to move. Feel like, oh my goodness, I thought it was gonna be a testimony.
Yeah.
I would never have sat by this guy that I went on a first date with.
Yes.
Why tonight too? It's because as you go through Regeneration, we have a sexual inventory. That's one of the aspects, because it does affect all of us. And if you were on steps one or in groundwork and you're like, this is sexual inventory, the exits are on both sides here.
Yeah.
You can make your way out. I feel like
please
I didn't sign up for that.
Please stay in.
So we're like, you know what? You're going to go through this as part of your recovery. Good for us to talk about it here. And then lastly, as I thought about this, I'm like, you know what? Recovery people do it in 12 steps. And then I was like, no, I'm not going to share that. I'm not going to share that sexual innuendo because it's not appropriate.
Oh, I don't even know if I get it.
Nobody did.
Yeah, I don't think anyone got it.
But we can edit it out afterwards.
Okay, please.
Great, good. So relationships. Like God created us to be as relational beings in relationship from the very beginning with Adam and Eve and everyone who's been born since. He has said that it's not good for man to be alone. And so we're there in the garden with God to be in relationship with him and relationship with others. Now, Adam and Eve had nothing to wear at the outset. Sin hadn't entered into the picture, and it was good, it was right, it was beautiful. Then sin enters in, and there's rebellion from God, and ever since, there's been trouble. And so what God has done is he has given us the scriptures that inform us in much in how to relate to one another, how to be in right relationship with the opposite sex, the same sex, and conduct ourselves in a way that is helpful in building up and not tearing of each other down. From a relationship standpoint, as we talk about sexuality, this was like 15 years ago, I was in this discipleship program, and there was this girl, and she was cute, whatever, and I'm getting to know her, and so we're talking after class one day, and I'm asking her questions, hey, so how did you come about this, and tell me your story, this and that, and she goes, hey, you know what, I actually don't feel like this is a good thing right now, I don't think these are good questions, and I was like, What are you talking about right now? That was a great question. I'm awesome. And she goes, you know, my pastor told me once, and I was like, oh, where's this going?
Yeah.
She's like, my pastor told me once, talk, time, and touch. And I feel like right now, talk is probably going to a depth that's really not helpful because I don't really know what your intentions are or whatever. Now, I'm like just months sober coming out of the bar scene, and I'm like, what did that Christian girl just say to me? What is she talking about? And I have never forgotten since. Yeah. I don't remember her name, but I remember talk, time, and touch. And she's like, you know, those are three ways that we interact with each other relationally, but if those go to a certain depth or level, they can become inappropriate and really cause some bonding or damage that was never intended. And it stuck with me. And it stuck with me in the relationships that I have now and how I interact with the opposite sex. So talk, time, and touch. Guys, listen to this. So 1 Timothy 5:2, here's your boilerplate. Before I was married, here's my options for women. 1 Timothy 5:2 says, treat older women as mothers and younger women as little sisters in absolute purity. That meant that every single girl that I had an interaction with, I was either to treat as my mom or my little sister.
That means you treat me as your mom.
I don't know what.
What do you say to that?
Nothing. I'm trying to think how that translates. I'm
like, yeah. Sorry, I totally took that, but I had to take it.
But it was like, that was my context. Like once I was living with the Lord, it was like, all right, if I'm not married to this girl, she's either to be treated as my mother or my little sister. And that was a game changer for me. Like, because that was not the categories that I was treating women prior to Christ, but a really helpful filter that God gave us, mom, little sister, until you're in that covenant relationship with a woman.
All right. You know, we get asked this question all the time. We've heard that when you're going through regen, that you can't date. I hear that all the time. And I would say, it's true. No, I wouldn't say that. What I would say to the folks and what
your
we say,
yeah,
I know, it didn't go, I don't know, we got to warm them up.
There.
Yeah, I think they're a little nervous about this whole sexuality talk, honestly, just like we are. So we would say to you, hey, we would encourage you not to date someone who's in regen.
Well, that sounds like legalism.
Well, it's not legalism. It's wisdom.
Ah, there's a difference.
Yeah. And here's what I tell, this is what I tell women is, you're here to heal. People are here to find healing. And so think of it as a spiritual hospital. You know, patients aren't healing other patients in a hospital. It doesn't work that way. Patients rely upon the doctor to bring in healing. And so I say to folks, hey, press pause on that. This is your season to just get to know. I even say to girls, date God. For a time. This is your season to get to know him and be in relationship with him. Yeah. And
nobody,
just focus on that.
Nobody's cruising the halls of the hospital looking for a tennis partner, huh?
No, they are not.
Yeah, they're there to get well.
They're there to get well. Yeah. And so that's what we would say. Well, that's what we say when people ask about dating. Now, again, not legalism. You're free to make your own decision, but that would be the encouragement that we'd give to you about dating here.
Let them go through their own inventory before you end up on theirs.
That's a risk. That's a risk.
Yes.
Well played, John. Yeah, that's true.
Thank you. 1 out of 10 hit. Yeah, Stick around. I'll have another good joke in 10 minutes.
Fails. The other place that we really want to hit and talk about relationships is in the concept of work. And it's work where the affair happened for me. And so I remember when I was home, when my kids were littles, and I was home and I read on a regular basis a Woman's Christianity Today magazine. And I remember reading an article one time just with warnings about what you should be, things you should be careful of when you're at work and working with the opposite sex. And I read through it, and honestly, you guys, I was like, well, that's a little crazy. Like, that's so stiff.
And like what?
Like, things like don't grab a meal together. Don't be in a meeting alone together.
Well, there's nothing in the Bible that says don't grab a meal together and don't be alone together, right?
Yeah, don't drive in a car alone together. So it was, I just remember hearing those things and thinking, well, surely this was written by somebody who was born in the 1900s.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't think it applied to me.
You're reading Amish Today.
Yes.
Not Christianity
Today. But
like, where's the article on making my own jam?
Yeah, but what I learned is that in my thinking that this was dumb and I don't need it, I was in the most danger I could possibly have put myself into. I didn't heed wisdom principles.
Yeah, and so those very things that you were saying were dumb.
Yeah, or everything
I watched.
Traveling alone, you know, not, it was not wise. It was not wise. And I didn't set out to fall into that relationship. It was just little things over time that brought me there.
Yeah, it was a slow fade. Nobody wakes up, you didn't wake up one day and be like, ah.
No, all right, no.
Today's the day, this will be, this will be a good day to. And so by way of illustration, this is what Anne's talking about and what happens. Because you've got two people joined together as one flesh. That's what it says there. At the beginning, Genesis 2, it's continued on in Matthew 19, where Christ is talking about marriage, and he says, God has made them to be one flesh. A man should leave her husband and wife, come together, one flesh, sorry, father and mother, and become one flesh. And what God has joined together, let no man separate. So just like these two boards, I mean, I can't on my own separate this. Like, and I'm a strong dude, clearly. Mom?
Mommy? Out of the way.
There's nothing that can be done about it. You're like, that looks so awkward. But you introduce a third party into this one flesh relationship. So two pieces of wood there, another piece of wood here. Same substance. And it's like, right now even, I mean, I'm like, jam that down. It's not going to come apart. But it begins like this, like Anne was saying. And I've asked her before, long before this talk, as she shared her testimony, I was like, hey, will you share with me, like, how that happened, the affair, because it scares the absolute, I'll say it, crap out of me, because I know I'm capable. I'm fully capable, and what I know is that by the time I'm already in it, like, I'll already be 20 steps in, and it'll be too late. It's this imperceivable, slow fade, and so it begins from what I, you know, have heard and observed. And friends is like, hey, how was your weekend? Yeah, what'd you guys do? Good time with family? No, it was kind of hard, actually. It was tough. Oh, really? What made it tough? Well, my husband and I kind of got into it. Oh, man. That's so unlike you. I know, yeah. Well, it's just always been kind of like that. Hey, you want to grab coffee for this meeting? Sure, like downstairs? Nah, let's go to Starbucks, more quiet. Cool. Hey, you want to ride together? Well, I've got this thing afterwards. No, come on, we'll be able to talk in the car. Hey, how's it going with your husband? Not good still, you know, we got into it again. I'm so sick of it. You deserve better. You deserve better. How'd you guys meet anyway? What are you doing this weekend? Kids are out of town, just probably stay working a little late. Well, let's grab dinner. Let's grab dinner after work. I got to work late too. Man, I don't know if anybody's ever told you, but you look great in that color or outfit. Like, you should wear that the next time you're with your husband. Hey, you want to come over? Grab a couple drinks. Strong. And it's like, the separation has happened, and it's not one time just split it wide open. It's that slow fade progression that you think nothing of. How was your weekend? Like, that can be the beginning of the affair. And I'm not telling you to ask each other how each other's weekends were. Like, that's fine. But as it progresses and the split begins and it becomes deeper and deeper, the separation enters in. And anything you'd add to that?
That was just greatest. I like that illustration. Wasn't that great? That's a great illustration. That's exactly it. Yeah. And so I would just say, again, don't think you are in danger. And it might seem legalistic, or it might seem like this feels stiff. I mean, John and I had a lunch together we were meeting someone about a year ago that was literally less than a mile from here. And we both climbed in our separate cars and we drove over there because we knew that that was what God's word would tell us to do. And we knew that that was honoring to Laura and to Bill. It was honoring to our spouses. And so the other thing I would say, too, is you might be sitting here and saying, you know what? I'm fine. I'm not attracted to her, or I'm not attracted to gals. I'm not attracted to him at work. But you don't know what he's feeling about you. And so never make an assumption just because you don't, they don't.
Yeah, Scripture talks a lot about the weaker brother. And so you may have that liberty and freedom, and they may not. And odds are you're not having that conversation like, hey, P.S., do you find me attractive before we go grab lunch for work?
Yeah, you have feelings for
just
me?
Just wanted to ask. You don't? Our okay, things. That's awkward. Yeah. And the thing is, too, even if there was this, like, mutual understanding, you might be like, John and Ann can't go have lunch together? Like, that seems odd or whatever. Like, if we made permission for that, and then all of a sudden I was like, yeah, I mean, it's not a big deal. Like, with Ann, and so why not with this girl? Like, all of a sudden, my boundaries, my established, like, do's and don'ts for my health of my marriage, whatever, like, all that has started to erode so that whenever, you know, some other girl, some other opportunity, it's like, well, yeah, you know what? I'm factoring in, like, case law now. Like, well, you know what? Yeah, Ann and I had lunch that one time, so yeah, I guess I can. It'd be fine. Nothing happened then. It'll be fine now. And people fall into trouble.
Yeah.
Like, you're texting with whatever girl, opposite sex, maybe it's same-sex relationship, struggle, and if there's permissibility there, even if it's not a thing, that permissibility for a dangerous thing can enter in.
That's good. Let's talk about visual, John.
Cool. So the other thing aside from relational is visual. We're all going to be in relationships with one another, and the other thing that we're always going to have is this visual aspect to our sexuality. So God created beauty. He created the human race and said of it alone is very good. And he gave us even an aesthetic eye where we're drawn to beauty, whether it's design of buildings, whether it's fashion, whether it's nature and flowers, or the beauty of the human form. Like, he has wired us up that way. Even if someone's voice, like, there's just with singing and everything, he's wired us to appreciate beauty, not dissonance, but beauty. And so go figure that when you see someone attractive of the opposite sex, you're drawn to that. And Laura and I talk about this as a married couple, like, not before. It's like, I know that she finds men attractive and she knows that I find women attractive. Like, that's crazy to be like, well, the second I said I do, everybody became ugly.
You
that's
can't
stupid.
See anymore. Yeah.
It makes a good Hallmark card, but it's not true.
You run into, like, things.
I see attractive people every day. It's just like the nature of living on earth with 7 billion people. You're going to see someone that you're like, wow, they're attractive. The issue is not temptation. The issue is sin. The issue is not seeing beauty. The issue is lust. Lust meaning to take, to prey upon, to want, to covet, to devour. Not simply to notice, in which case, I mean, you'd have to just, like, go around blindfolded for the rest of your life. Martin Luther said, you can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can keep them from building a nest. And in the same way, you can't just avoid beauty or attraction to others, whether it's, again, same sex, heterosex, but it's when it transitions to lust that becomes the problem. So talking to the guys, I would say this, like, some guys struggle with pornography, all guys struggle with formography. And what I mean by that is there are guys, I used to say, I never struggled with pornography. I loved pornography. I never struggled with a day in my life. I thought it was amazing. Like, get online and see all, I mean, it was like, I had, like, no conviction about it. It was not a struggle. I gave myself fully over to it, brought it into a relationship. And while that's been out of my life for 15 years, what has not been out of my life for 15 years is formography, meaning looking too long at the form of a woman, whether it's on a screen or even here at the church, when, like, a lingering look or like, wow, she's attractive, and then doing a double take. And that's shameful. I hate saying that out loud, and yet as far as the scriptures say, confess your sins and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so there is, I think all of us probably, and not just guys, but I think especially guys are given to formography, drawn to the form. The other thing...
Well, girls have eyes, too.
What would you add to
that?
I
mean, girls have eyes, too.
Great. I can't speak to that as well.
Well, we can't. Is there anything else you want me to jump in?
Yeah. I've got more, but you want me to keep going or you want to jump in there?
Well, let me talk about formology a little bit.
Why don't you talk about a little
formology? I think we should. All right. So, athleisure, yoga pants, spandex, like, best invention ever. They're so comfortable, and they're so amazing. In college, I worked out in baggy sweatpants, and it was like extra weight. Like, I love the athleisure pants for active work. It's great. And so I just want to throw it out there. I think, when you talk about formology, that's one of the first places I go to, and I think about that.
Dude.
And so I get the whole comfort piece. I'm the girl that's in them when I'm at home. I love them. I think they're great. But I want to introduce a concept to you gals called HBO, Help a Brother Out. help a brother out. It's simple, right?
It might as well be body paint.
And so
that's what it translates
around,
to us.
Yeah, like, longer shirt, tie something around your waist. And because it matters, if you're getting, are you getting dressed with others in mind? And I would say, and I know there's some of you, because I was her, that's not my problem. It's really not my problem. These are comfortable. It's not my problem. That's not my problem.
You fix your heart.
And
fix
I would
your
say
eyes.
To you, that's not your problem, but it now becomes one for me. When I'm standing in the Chipotle line with my husband and you're in front of me without your bottom covered, and I need to move myself in between you and my husband, it becomes my problem, you know? And so it's a matter of just, hey, you know, just think through it. I'm just changing things. Please don't hear, if you're sitting here in yoga pants or exercise pants, you guys, we're not going to watch out the door. There's another one.
I was going to wear them tonight, and then I was like,
oh my God, like, you know, I'm not going to run into every group tonight and go, I saw you, I caught you. No. All we're saying is just consider it. Be thinking of, be mindful of another. First Timothy 2:9 says, I also want the women to dress modestly. But you know what, John? We're not the only ones that have the formality issue. I mean, boys put on things that are troublesome for us too, like maybe biking shorts or, I think of Speedos. Yeah, he laughs. Yeah, whatever. You guys think it's funny. I think of Speedos, and I'm really glad that we don't live in Europe, because that's a hard thing. Your eyes, like, where do you look? It's just super hard. It's really difficult. But here's something that you don't think about. What about?
Tell me.
What about this? It is socially acceptable.
Because I don't think
guys.
About biker shorts. Well, so tell me more.
They're out there. I'm never going to hear the end of that. Okay, so here's something that's completely socially acceptable, and it's for you guys.
It's not biker shorts.
For you guys to go. Let me finish this because it's good. For you guys to go shirtless. Okay, that's socially acceptable, but I would say, should you? Should you? Have you ever thought that would cause us to stumble?
No.
Well.
With my physique, never.
Well, it would cause us to stumble in other ways.
I lack muscles. Stumble trip because you're closing your eyes.
Oh, man.
What is that pale, white, amorphous figure walking towards me? Ghosts are real.
Yeah. Anyway,
in Romans 1:25, it says they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served created things rather than the creator. And like, that's what's at the root of this, is that we start to worship the created things rather than the creator. And what then becomes is an idol that grips our heart and starts to strangle you from your affections from God and your ability to have a relationship with another person. And what you feed grows. And so as you feed that worship of the created rather than the creator with porn or your smartphone or, I mean, whatever it may be. I mean, I was at a basketball game recently and the cheerleaders, like, having to look away from that. Like, whatever you feed grows. And so you've got to be careful in that. I mean, truly right now, as you drive down 75, guys in the room, raise your hand if you want. I will. Has anyone seen the billboard, Greetings from Miami? Dude, I mean, what in the world? It's this huge image of a girl. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
See? Of a girl in a bikini. And it's like, I drive down 75 to go to the South Dallas campus, and I'm looking away because that's not permissible. And you might be like, that's not pornography, it's a billboard. It's like, well, what you feed grows. And so if I give myself to that, I will begin this set it into motion of my flesh wanting more of that. And what you starve dies. So that's another thing. And then the other thing I would tell you guys in the room, just as you, if porn is a struggle, what happens in your private world is how you will end up treating the girl, whether you're dating or married, because you're going to start living out, acting out, speaking out what you're ingesting and then bring it into your life. And that is, it's going to be cancer to every relationship.
Mm, it's good.
And what else?
I would say even girls, I mean, loving your other sisters. As I was talking through this with other gals on staff, it was like, hey, be sure you don't forget to talk about comparison as you're climbing into those exercise pants. You've got sisters who might be saying that I'm struggling with a weight struggle. And so are you thinking of another person in that, in the way you get dressed? And then the other thing I would encourage us to, of just caring for. Finally, I just want to talk about us girls as guarding our hearts from the guys, is what we're filling in our minds and what we're looking at social media, rom-coms, those romantic comedies. Oh, the Hallmark Channel, right? I would say that's kind of emotional porn. It's building you up for fairy tale stories. That's just not real life. And so what happens is God's word says, above all else, guard your heart, for from everything you do flows from it. And so what happens is you're filling yourself up with all of this fantasy. And so when a guy says hello to you, you're hearing, I do, let's go. I've got my Pinterest board, I've picked out my wedding dress, I'm ready. And that's just not a good thing. That's just not a good thing. And so just, I don't think it's just in what you wear, it's just what we think, what we put in our minds.
Absolutely. I think, guys, something that's stuck with me that I think is really helpful is we're to be protectors. God has set us in a role as such. And so to have shepherd eyes and not wolf eyes, to be a protector and not a predator. In Colossians 3, it says, put to death whatever is earthly or fleshly among you. Put it to death. It's like a zero tolerance. Execute it. Put it to death. Allow no provision. Make no provision for the flesh and put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 13:14. And anything else on that?
I think we should jump
to for time.
The last one, yes.
Great. So the last one that we're going to talk about is sexual. And I'm going to start with another illustration for that. Let me clear a little bit of space. As we talk about sexuality, oh, not that blanket.
That's good.
This blanket.
Yeah, do you have some help? John was in charge of illustrations. I think he's
so.
Done a great
I've got
job.
Some biker shorts. I'm going to put on. And
what did you say? I didn't even hear that.
As we talk about sex and sexuality, so it's like Molotov cocktails here on stage.
Yeah.
Like this is going to be dangerous. I'm colorblind, but I've been told that this is pink.
Pink.
And
blue. Girls,
guy
boys.
And boy. So scripture says, as I said, from Genesis 2, also again in Matthew 19, it says that in sex, there is one flesh. That's in 1 Corinthians 6. Now you might think, wait, that's just for marriage, right? Like a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. They shall become one flesh. That happens in a covenant, a marriage covenant. It says in Malachi that they have a covenant together. But there is also in 1 Corinthians 6 where it says, do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute has become one with her in flesh? Now, he has not become one with her in a covenant. That doesn't mean that every person you sleep with you need to marry. Please don't. That would not end well. But there is an unseen spiritual reality there where God's saying, like, hey, when you unite yourself with someone, there is a one fleshness that happens.
That's cool. You guys catching what's happening here?
And as that happens, like I can't right now extract one or the other. These have become one. Now that can't be changed, but it can be cleaned. And so you add Christ. You bring Christ in, not to the relationship. Many of those sinful relationships, they need to be broken up. If you're leading each other into sin, there needs to be a break up until you cannot lead each other into sin. 1 Corinthians 6 again, where it says, everything's permissible, not everything's beneficial, and I will not be mastered by anything. And so if your relationship is leading you into sin, the answer is break up. Seek the Lord before you seek each other. But in this, as those two came together, again, they couldn't be changed. What's happened has happened with that sexual union, but it doesn't mean that it always will be. There is cleansing that happens in Christ. And so to bring it in the light, confess it to the Lord, to a brother or sister in Christ, to be prayed for and ask the Lord to clean you. And he will every single time. And what you have done is not who you are. And there is healing in Christ. But just know, by way of admonition, there is a reality there that a giving yourself to one another, a oneness that happens. And when those, just like if you were to super glue your fingers together, and I have before, when you go to separate them, there is a pain that happens. There is a loss of your epidermis that happens. As you pull apart that, it's painful because it was not meant to be outside of the yoke of marriage. In the yoke of marriage, there's blessing and purity and goodness and joy without pain. But the purity comes there in Christ when needed outside of that marriage covenant. And anything you would add to that?
No, I think the piece that I would really want you to hear is, hey, there is cleansing in that as you watch this, and that happens when you invite Christ into it and you invite others into it and bring it into the light.
No matter what is on your inventory in the sexual portion, the blood of Christ will pour over and cleanse you of all sin. It's 1 John 1:9. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, meaning like get it out in inventory, in your groups. And it says the blood of Christ will cleanse you from all sin. There's not a single sin that has not been cleansed by the blood of Christ as you come under him. Back to you, Annie.
Back to me. Oh, there's just too much here and I'm looking at the time. We talked about too, how we use, some of the things we talked about is kind of a wrong thinking that we have of sex. And so that time too, God, it's God's idea and it's his gift to us and it's a good thing. It's a really good thing. But some of us never really learn God's intent and design in that and why it's a good thing. We grew up maybe in a church or a home where we were taught sex is bad, sex is dirty, it's wrong. And so you just get this bad information. And I think particularly it's interesting, like for women, we use sex to get love. Right? We think if we give ourselves over to him sexually, we're going to get love. And so I'm going to give him that because I want love.
Yeah.
And what about guys?
And guys, oppositely, are using love to get sex, treating someone in the way that they desire or want to be fed or led or made to feel in order to get, there's an end game there.
Yeah.
And I should say, used inappropriately. Like not everyone in here is like, man, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not using love for that end. We're painting with a broad stroke here in generalization. When we're not doing well to our own devices in the flesh, that is how we will manipulate love and sex to get our own desired end.
Good. That's good. And I think I think you should cover point 3 on here, John, because I just think that's a good button on this before we go to, of just how, what Satan kind of
right
makes
here?
You think. Yeah.
Yeah. So, 1 Corinthians 7, in the marriage context, because there's a way, we've talked a lot about sex outside of marriage. Within the marriage context, sex can be weaponized as well and used to hurt each other. Mm-hmm. And scripture talks about it. Like there's much that talks about, you know, flee youthful lust, 2 Timothy 2:22 and 1 Corinthians 6 again. There's a lot of 1 Corinthians 6. Your body is a temple. You're bought at a price. Therefore, honor the Lord with your body.
Nice.
But in marriage, where sex is right and holy and good, there can still be a weaponizing of that. And what the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 7, it says, husbands, your body is not your own. It belongs to your wife. Wives, your body is not your own. It belongs to your husband. Therefore, do not deprive each other. Scripture is saying, do not deprive each other except by mutual consent. Do not deprive each other of sex except by mutual consent and only for a time by prayer so that you will not be tempted by Satan because of your lack of self-control. But we don't do that. See, the guys tweak it and are like, it says right here, do not deprive me. Mm-hmm. We should be having sex 3 times a day, 7 days a week, 365. Don't deprive me. It says it right here in scripture. So let's go to the bedroom because right now God says it's good. Let's go. And we weaponize it against our wives. It's like, I will not love you outside of the bedroom in the way that I honor, respect you, treat you with humility and gentleness. But I'm going to demand it here in the bedroom. How do girls weaponize sex, Anne?
We withhold it. I've got a headache. Don't feel good. Yeah, it's been a hard day.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Lord says Satan will tempt you if either one of those things are happening. And I would be remiss to say the other way that guys weaponize sex in an involuntary way is to give themselves over to porn and masturbation, which is depriving the wife of what belongs solely to her. Like your sexuality, well, sex is no longer yours to use, it never was, independently in singleness, but certainly now in marriage. And so as you do that, married man, engaging in porn and masturbation, you are depriving your wife of what is rightfully hers. And there's a weaponizing there. Because that longing and desire that you have, that is a good godly desire that was given to you, God created this, it's a good gift. If you fulfill that on your own outside of your wife, then you are in sin and you are depriving your wife. And the scriptures say that Satan will come and tempt you. It's one of the only places where it says Satan himself mm-hmm. will come and tempt you if you do that in the marriage. So, that's probably all on that with time, huh?
I think so. I think we need to land the plane.
What would you tell people here?
You know what I would tell you all is the reason we wanted to share some of this stuff is we just want to spare you some pain. Both John and I have walked through some painful things because I can speak for myself because I really believed what the world was telling me about those things. And 11 years ago, gang, I would have never imagined I'd be sitting on this stage talking to you about the affair that I was in. In fact, I was like afraid to even go to the grocery store. And so the only reason I'm here is the healing power of Jesus Christ. It is the only reason I'm here, and it's the only reason that he's made my mess a message to you. And so when we stand up here and we say there's a new life in Christ, when I stand up here and I say that I have a new life in Christ, like I believe that to the core of my being. I don't walk in guilt and shame because I was an adulteress or because I went outside my marriage to have sex and I had sex before I was married and all the things that I could pile on top of myself.
It's not your identity.
It's not my identity. My identity is in Christ. And so we say these things to hopefully encourage you. And so if we said anything that is confusing to you.
Biker shorts. That was confusing. 10 years from now.
He will still be telling me I said biker shorts to you on stage. So, put a button on it.
So with that, I want to read this scripture because it truly, like no matter, I shared with me masturbation, pornography in a relationship. There was a girl who's going through a divorce and was like, hey, call me when you're lonely. And I did. And the divorce wasn't finalized, which means I've committed adultery. We don't stand up here from any place of any kind of condemnation. This is us saying, take heed of the warnings. Like God gave us sex as a good gift, but if we misuse it, some of the greatest pains in our lives, and I would imagine in yours as well, have come as a result of misusing that good gift outside of the Father's instruction. And yet, how good is the Father that sees us in that pain, in that brokenness, in that loss, in that personal sorrow and grieving, in everything listed on your inventory, or the inventory that's going to be in the future, or the things that you were too ashamed to even put on the inventory, and has this to say to you tonight. Colossians 2:13. When you were dead in your sins, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, past, present, future, all of them, having canceled the written code with its regulations that stood against us. This he took away, nailing it to the cross. All of the condemnation, the shame, all of the law, frankly, that said guilty, all of Satan's accusations. God said, you're right, but I'm gonna take that and lay it upon Jesus. This he nailed to the cross, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, made a public spectacle over them, triumphing over them by the cross. Friends, if you're in Christ, you are forgiven and free and clean, and go and walk in that freedom. And if you're not yet in Christ, and what you feel right now is like, what in the world? And you're thinking back to past memories and all of that. Call upon Jesus. The answer isn't to start trying to extract the red from the pink and try to undo what you've done. The answer is just to cry out to Jesus and say, forgive me, Lord, I'm a sinner. Amen. And he will. He does every single time. It's what he lives to do. It's why he came and rose again. He died for all of your sin. And he extends salvation in a new life, not a better life. Clean slate, new life. Just say, Jesus, I'm a sinner, save me, and he will. In every aspect, whether it's sexual or anything else that brought you through the doors tonight. And so welcome to Regeneration.